You know, I was, there's a song we sing. I think you guys all know it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This morning, just before our service here, I got a call from a man. Phil was there. He was kind of chuckling, I think. Now, this man did something awful. I mean, just awful. He faltered and got drunk last night. Oh, my God. Cannot do anything today. Now, wait a second. What day did he get drunk? Was that yesterday or was that today?
Yesterday.
Did he wake up drunk this morning? No. Is this morning the day that the Lord hath made? Amen. I will what? No, I will whine and cry about what I did yesterday. I will never have another good day in Christ ever again. It's all over. I got drunk. What an awful thing. I mean, look, I share it with you from this way because Phil's talking about, you know, at work. Let's take parents here. We got parents who are homeschoolers, right? We got some homeschooling parents. Struggle sometimes, don't you? You kind of get into ruts sometimes. You kind of like, I know something's wrong, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do about it. But the thing is that what you do is you just keep day by day instead of stopping, right? Instead of stopping everything, reevaluating completely, you just keep going on hoping something's going to change, right? Without you having to change. Isn't that how we usually want it? We want everything to change around us. We want to do the same thing. We don't want to change, right? As a parent to homeschooling our children, we want God to just take care of it, and we want to not have to change, and it's going to get better. Well, I don't know. I mean, I studied engineering, so I was like a math guy, and, you know, when you get like 1 + 1, every single time I added 1 + 1, you know what it was? 2. Now, I might want 3 of that thing, but as long as I was just doing 1 + 1, I never got to 3. It just stopped right there. 1 + 1 = 2. But I want 3. How about 1 + 2? That equals 3. I like that answer better than the 2 I was getting, right? But you know what I had to do is I had to use 2. I had to use 1 + 2. I couldn't just keep doing 1 + 1 and expect a different answer. Isn't that how we are? See, when he's talking about our reasonable service, the issue is it's our reasonable service to who? To him. See, and what happens is we get into ruts because it's about who? Us. We don't want to change. We want the circumstances around us to change, but we don't want to change. But we want the answer to change. That doesn't work. And see, what Phil was getting at there is he was seeing a situation there, and he was the boss. So who was responsible to change that situation? Who did they specifically hire and pay more money to than the other guys? With the express admonition that he was to get that gang of guys to work together to put tires on vehicles. It was that guy back there. So you know what? It wasn't going to change no matter how much he prayed. No matter how much he prayed until he humbled himself to step up and do something about it. As a parent, do we not see that with our children? We see things that are going on, behaviors we'd really like to change. So what do people out here in the world tell? They'll grow out of that. Isn't that what they say? They'll grow out of that. Oh, really? Anybody seen children out there? Oh, yeah, they grow out of a lot of things. They grow out of clothes. They grow out of things like that. But bad behavior? Whew. All you got to do is step outside. You can see that people aren't growing out of bad behavior, are they? No, they may get more refined and perfected in the way in which they accomplish it without getting caught or nabbed or in trouble. Because as children, you're kind of stupid that way. That's the part you haven't figured out so well as a child. You know, as you get to be an adult, you figure out all these sophisticated ways to make it so that people don't see or know that it's really not your fault. You really didn't do it. It's somebody else. Just listen to television. Listen to politicians. I mean, leave it aside. Listen to any workplace. I mean, Edmund, you've been around workplaces for a few years, I think. Do people come up with a lot of excuses and it's never their fault? That's like the most common thing everywhere you turn. You go to school, the students aren't doing well. It's not our fault. Well, then whose fault is it? Didn't you get paid to teach the children? Well, it's not my fault. That's why I like, Mr. Holland's Opus. Remember, his friend comes, and have you ever seen this movie? It's about a music teacher. And there's this one kid that the football coach comes over and tells him he wants him to have him in the band and teach him how to play. And Mr. Holland's going, man, I can't make this kid learn. He's the unteachable one. And his fellow teacher basically calls him up short. He said, no, the problem's not with the kid. The problem's with you. And Mr. Holland found a way. It was amazing. He actually found a way to teach the unteachable. That was an amazing thing. But you know what he had to do? He had to humble himself to acknowledge that the fault lied with him, not with someone else. And when he did that, things changed. See, the scripture tells us we have to fight the good fight of faith, right? We have to lay hold of eternal life. It's not something that just gets handed to us. It's an amazing thing. I mean, to me, one of the saddest things I see just generally in America today, but in the churches, is there is no fight in just about anybody. Nobody wants to fight for anything. We used to have these things people used to talk about, freedom's not free. People had to fight for these things and stuff like that. And people fought. People in America used to fight. The scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. I don't know. I walk around and see Christians. Do I see Christians who are fighters? I seldom, I really almost never see anyone who's a Christian who's really a fighter. It's so rare. It's so rare. But see, that's what it is. If you're going to stagger not at the promises of God through unbelief, but you're going to be strong in faith, giving glory to God, the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to fight. And you're not going to have to fight just once. You're going to have to fight every single day of your life. See, the brother who called me and talking about now he couldn't go, he couldn't do this, all he felt like doing was laying in bed. I mean, think of it for a moment. Okay, so I had a bad day yesterday. Am I going to give Satan a 2-for-1? I had a bad day yesterday, so why don't I have a bad day today? And then let's see, maybe a 3-for. Let's see, how about next tomorrow too? Because gosh, I mean, yesterday and the day before now testify against me. Maybe I should give them 3 in a row. If this is the day that the Lord hath made, then Satan has no part of it at all in your life. Absolutely none. If you give him that part, it's your fault. Why do you think Christ died? This brother said, well, I'm a hypocrite. I said, you're only a hypocrite when you don't realize you're a sinner. Christ came to save sinners. Where's the hypocrisy in acknowledging you're a sinner then? I think it sounds like the entry ticket into his kingdom. I'm a sinner in need of a savior. That's what Jesus came for me for, right? Where's the hypocrisy in that? The hypocrisy is people go to church and think they're good. They think they're somehow better than other people. Well, that's not a fight. See, and that's the thing, is people go around and they just feel like, I'm good. You go around and you listen to Americans today, the idea that you're good is like so pervasive. We have a society that's awful. Awful. I mean, anybody who's been around a little bit, I know Mr. Hanger's been around a little bit. He's been 80 years from what I understand, right, sir? 80 years. Okay. 82. All right, good. I was seldom short. Sorry about that, sir. Thank you for correcting me. 80 plus 1 plus 1 is 82. Praise God. You got a few of them in there for us. So you've got 82 years out here. Has this country been getting in better shape or worse shape? Worse shape? It's been getting worse over these 82 years? It doesn't look very good, does it? It's been looking bad. But man, we're good. People are good. My cousin, I'm listening to him talk to his son, his 2-year-old son, behaving terribly and stuff like that. You're awesome. You're good. I love you. I'm thinking, man, smack that child. That child's that child's just, look at that. I mean, that he's doing wrong. All the other children are suffering from it. What the hell's the matter with you? Why are you telling him he's good? You follow what I'm saying? But that actually requires love to say that. It requires love. It requires acknowledging the truth. Instead, what he's doing is he's sowing to something that's a weed that's going to grow up and be nasty and come back to snake bite him if he doesn't deal with it. But that's what people do. You know, in Vermont, it used to be this, the worst child in the class. You know where the worst child in the class sits in Vermont? At the teacher's desk. Gets rewarded more above them all. Gets to sit at the teacher's desk. Shoot. When we were children, is that what would happen to Edmund when you were a child? If you were the worst behaved child in the class, would you get to sit at the teacher's desk? Would you get excused from all your work and everything like that? No, yeah, he's shaking his head. No, he knows that's not the case. Whap! Yep, they'd have pulled out the paddle. They were still using the paddle when we were young. They'd have pulled out the paddle in that school and gone whap. That child would have been, oops, you going to do that anymore? No, I don't want to do that anymore. And the child grew up to be straight and do that which was right because they weren't allowed to just keep doing the other things. But that reasonable service, of course, to do that kind of thing today means you are like what? You are the evil prince in today's world. You are the evil, evil prince to say such a horrible thing. Our reasonable service to God is to do things his way. If you want the results that God promises, do it his way. Can't do it your way and expect to get the promises of God. Doesn't work that way. So, look, folks. Man, my Bible, this thing's like got a steeper slope than the one we have in thing. All my bookmark things, which are like pamphlets from places I've been and napkins and all these other things, they start falling on the floor. We're going to have to sweep up after me over here. Phil mentioned that there are people out here who need to know the love of Jesus. You can't minister the love of Jesus until you know it for yourself. You can't minister it until you know it for yourself. And you have to know it. You can't wonder about it. You have to know it. You have to know that God is faithful. You have to pray believing. I listen to the prayers and I listen to the things, the hopes. I mean, we sang that song, Take Me Past the Outer Courts, right, into the Holy Place. Right? What did it say? Was that, I wish, I hope, I really hope this works? Or do you freaking sing that song knowing that you're going into passing the outer courts and into the Holy Place? Do you know that you, yourself, are in the holiest of holies, standing with the Lord Jesus Christ before the throne of God to receive every good thing he has for you? I mean, that's a song we sing. When you sing it, is that how you sing it? And you can see yourself passing through. You know you're passing through. This isn't a wonder. This isn't a hope. This isn't an anything. We should get a wireless mic up here before I get myself all tangled up. But do you follow what I'm saying? The fight is you grab hold of that. As you sing that song, you refuse to accept anything but what its promise is. You have to sing it from that perspective. You have to sing it from that perspective. You know, every promise of God is yes and amen. The good fight of faith is to lay hold on those promises, to grab a hold of it and to not accept anything but the fullness of it coming to pass. That's what you have to do. You have to stand in that place. When you sing these songs hoping that God's going to pick you up by the nape of the neck, drop kick you up into heaven, I can tell you, you can forget that. Now, I might drop kick you, but it ain't going to be into heaven. It's going to be drop kicking you because of that unbelief and doubt. People hear me deal with it. That's what I was dealing with today. Unbelief and doubt. I said to Raul a while back, I said, Raul, I'm going to set up goalposts out at Grace Ranch. When you get there, he scores. you know, drop kick them, because they got to drop kick them like three times a day. It's amazing. Because every single day, what, something goes down, somebody says something bad or whatever. Oh, no. Oh, no. What, the promises of God just got thrown out? What happened? Nobody can steal these things. It says, let no man take thy crown. Let no man. Why do people give it away so easily? Why? Why do you? If you lay hold on a thing, can anybody take it away from you? That's what you got to do. You got to lay hold. You grab hold of that thing and you won't let anybody take it away from you. Period. It doesn't matter what they do. It does not matter what they do. That's how you win, folks. Now look, it's been a blessing to be down here in South Carolina, and the Lord's working a work here. But I want you to know, he ain't done. He's not nearly done with you. He's not nearly done with you. As far as being in that place where you can go out and you can actually share the love of God with people so that people know that Jesus did in fact die, there's some work to be done here. Let me tell you, I wish I could say otherwise, but it's just the truth. But that's all right. He's expert in dealing with just such situations. That's the amazing thing. You know, he's able. But I want you guys to be looking at a thing. We got a ministers' convention coming up in October, and you guys are going to be coming out there. And I expect you guys to come out there to receive the promises of God and then to carry them and share them with other people. Come out between now and then, you get your acts together, get yourself focused, get yourself oriented, Lord, come out to receive every single thing that he has for you so that you can then take those things and share them with others. Be in that mindset where your life is not your own, but you were bought with a price and you want those things not for yourself so you can go, da-da, look at me. I can tell you that person's not going to get anything from the Lord. That person's not going to get anything. But to receive so that those who cannot see, who do not know, can receive it from you. Wherever you are, cat, that they can receive it from you at your office where you work. You know, Edmund, where they can receive it from you. I mean, I know, look, these are things that if you grew up around church, the things I'm talking about, if you grew up around church are like, it's almost like I'm speaking gibberish. It's almost like I'm speaking gibberish because the fact of the matter is the promises and the things I'm talking about, you don't see in any church. You don't see it anywhere. It's such BS that has been church. It's such nonsense. It infuriates me. I mean, I absolutely hate it. I detest it. It makes me angry. You talk about Jackie Robinson going in. That's how I feel when I go around church people. Talk about the promises of God, and they're all like cursing me and calling me the N-word and every other thing because what? Because they don't walk in that. They don't believe that, but they think they're good, but they're not. Are you going to join me in this? Are you going to be willing to go out and stand and be a cursed thing as far as other people think that you can show them the love of God? Are you willing to go and be like the guy who breaks the color barrier back in baseball that set the way for desegregation and everything? Are you willing to go and be the guy who endures all of that and the death threats and everything else so that you can set people free? Are you willing to do that? Because that's really what it is to be a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, I mean, Jesus, they nailed him to the cross. They didn't applaud him. They nailed him to the freaking cross. They cut off his disciple James's head. They stoned Stephen. They sent Paul. They stoned him, left him for dead. He got up. They put him in there with the lions. They put Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego through the fiery furnace. Are you willing to stand up and walk in that kind of love to others? That those who would destroy you and would come against you, you will say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Were you really actually willing to love them that much? Do I have anybody who's willing to do that? Because that's the walk of faith, folks. That is the walk of faith. That is it. He needs some people who are willing to lay down their own lives for others. That's what he needs. Are you willing to lay yours down for him? Because I can tell you the Bible is true and Jesus is faithful and every single promise in there is yes and amen. But it's yes and amen to those that believe. None of them are going to come to pass for those who don't. Not a one, including salvation. So we'll let Lisa sing some more songs here. We'll close it out. And look, as we sing these songs, just let the past go. Let it go. Let's step into that newness of life that Christ has for us. Amen.
My life.
Praise you, Lord. Now, Lisa, keep that song. I want to do that song another time. But this time as we sing that song, do you believe that he really did that for you? I mean, oh, my God, if you believe that he really did that for you, that's a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, let me go forward in that. That is not a, I am not my, I apologize, I'm a horrible singer, so I won't, it won't make you endure more of it than that. But this isn't some panty waste, sweet little kisses of God through unbelief. Well, look, if he did that, then you are free. I don't care what you think you cannot do, he can. If you believe that, that is something to sing hallelujah about and to go forward as a warrior in Christ in that victory that he purchased for you. If it's a sweet children's song, then we're a bunch of panty waists who God has nothing to do with. I don't want that personally. I don't look good in panties anyways. And I don't want any of that. I'm a man. I'm a man. And I'm a warrior for Christ every day. If you are, then freaking sing the song like you are a warrior for Christ who believes the promise of God. And the little children's version thing we're going to leave behind. I want to hear some adults in this place.